So good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining the Snipp Interactive third quarter 2022 conference call. My name is Atul Sabharwal. I'm the founder and chief executive officer of Snipp. A copy of our earnings press release can be found at the investor relations section of our website, snipp.com, and the financials have been posted to SEDAR. The company reports its financials in US dollars. Thus, for today's discussion, we are referencing the currency unless otherwise noted. With me today also is the founder and chief executive officer of Gambit, Richard Pistelli, as well as our chief financial officer, Jason Garcha. Before beginning our formal remarks, I'd like to remind listeners that today's discussion may contain forward-looking statements that reflect management's current views with respect to future events. Any such statements are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause the actual results to differ materially from those projected in these forward-looking statements. Snipp does not plan to update any forward-looking statements except as required. With that said, we're going to spend some time today talking about the Snipp Interactive business, introducing our opportunity to investors, how we are growing, and how we are positioning the company for continued success. Our internal revenue forecast builds to $75 million in revenue by 2025, or 3x our current run rate. This is not a projection, but our forecast. I will also introduce Richard Pistelli, CEO of Gambit, who will discuss Gambit and the opportunities we are seeing in the rewards vertical, as well as our CFO, Jason Garcha, who will provide commentary on our financials. So first and foremost, let me begin with our mission statement, which is that Snipp aims to operate a modular customer acquisition and retention platform that allows for the implementation of industry agnostic marketing tactics, which continuously generate first party data that can be used by our clients to make intelligent decisions about their customer base. First party data strengthens customer relationships, targets the right end users, is a far lower cost to collect, and complies, very importantly, with the vast intricacies of consumer privacy laws. Snipp is a global loyalty and promotions company focused on developing marketing engagement platforms that generate customer insights and drive increased sales. The company's solutions include shopper marketing promotions, loyalty, rewards, rebates, and receipt processing. We also provide clients the services and expertise to design, execute, and promote their own marketing programs. Snipp has an active presence in the United States, Canada, Ireland, Switzerland, and India, with a sales office in each of these markets to service both its international clientele as well as develop local clients. We work with some of the largest Fortune 500 companies in the world, assisting them to find new customers and importantly, then helping them keep those customers for a long time. Microsoft, Nestle, Kellogg's, Procter & Gamble, Starbucks are just a few of our large multinational customers who have utilized our platform, which has now been deployed in over 50 countries. Snipp offers clients five main solution suites as part of its core business. I'll briefly detail each of these for those investors who are new to our story. The first is receipt processing. The company's unique Snipp Check mobile receipt processing solution allows brands to execute customized purchase-based promotions and loyalty programs. It supports any qualification criteria and works across all retailers and all devices. Snipp Check is the industry's leading receipt processing solution, currently supporting two of the largest CPG loyalty programs and having processed millions of receipts for hundreds of promotions. The second is what we call promotions, Snipp Win. The company's promotion and sweepstakes platform provides a full range of promotions from contests and simple sweepstakes to instant win programs and tiered multi-level games. The third is reward solutions. The company has a robust platform, Snipp Rewards, that is used by clients either in conjunction with other Snipp solutions or in standalone programs. The company continues to flesh out its portfolio of rewards and adding new reward categories quarterly. The fourth is loyalty programs. Snipp Loyalty is a robust enterprise strength solution that has several unique features. It allows clients to deploy anything from a simple punch card program to sophisticated, full-fledged, points-based loyalty programs with reward stores attached. This solution is focused on the emerging space of CPG and other multi-channel retailers, manufacturers. And the fifth is analytical data solutions, Snipp Insights. Given the vast amounts of first-party data generated, the company has developed this tool called Snipp Insights and allows clients to make sense of the data we collect in a variety of ways that allows for intelligent decision-making. So moving on to clients, our clients are primarily advertising agencies, manufacturing brands, and related marketing and promotions agencies looking to create programs to engage their customers and drive sales using our technology. In addition to the solutions described, the company also delivers end-to-end services, including comprehensive advice in conceptualizing promotion marketing programs, flexible deployment schedules, and the tracking and analysis of customer data. Everything we do is white labeled by our clients, whether it be the Starbucks or Pampers special loyalty programs. We are helping the brands drive the consumer to these programs, and we are running it for them. There is nothing called a Snipp app, website, or any customer acquisition cost from our core Snipp business as we white label our technology to these clients. Going forward, we aim to scale the business in the client segments in which we have successfully operated to date by focusing on further productizing and improving our suite of marketing solutions and by further expanding our presence within existing clients, as well as continuing to acquire new ones. We believe we have uniquely differentiated solutions for clients looking to do loyalty programs, purchase-based promotions, rebates, digital rewards, and receipt processing. And we are focused on selling the full range of these solutions to our clients. Loyalty is a $48 billion industry in the US alone, and loyalty management is expected to grow from $1.5 billion in 2015 to $4.8 billion by 2028. The purchase level data that we collect through our loyalty, rebate, and receipt solutions allows us to help brands better plan and optimize their advertising spend, and not just for promotions and loyalty. By tracking the activation source and leveraging the purchase data captured from existing programs, we believe we are able to capture additional share in the $500 billion global advertising market. In addition to the continued development of the company's existing platforms and the launch of solutions targeting new markets, repeat business from large global brands, an increasing number of Fortune 500 customers directly approaching the company for its solutions, and the opportunities for the company to make strategic acquisitions, we believe we are in a very strong position to further penetrate and expand our services, not only in the United States, but also in other key markets, including Canada and Western and Central Europe. Let me expand on four areas of our growth strategy. First, continued strength of the existing SnippCheck receipt processing platform. The company is seeing continued traction with SnippCheck, its mobile receipt processing solution. SnippCheck is one of the pioneers in the space of receipt processing and purchase validation. SnippCheck remains the market leader in terms of the number of programs and the size of programs that utilize the SnippCheck receipt processing platform. It's the only solution for brands looking to do programs at scale, having powered several hundred programs for leading Fortune 500 brands and world-class agencies and partners, as well as the three largest CPG receipt-based loyalty programs that have been put in market to date. SnippCheck is unique in that it offers clients 100% accuracy at scale in the processing of its receipts and with the friendliest user experience possible. The solution is highly customizable, flexible, and extensible, and can easily be tailored to meet other clients' unique program needs. Significant promotion activity is tied to the purchase, and SnippCheck enables brands to validate consumer purchases for various promotions. Prior to SnippCheck, brands looked to do programs tied to purchase were very limited to either code on pack solutions, mail-in programs, or integrating directly into the retailer point of sale system, all of which are cumbersome, expensive, and with their own shortcomings. SnippCheck also serves as an effective engine around which to continue to add promotions, features, and functionalities requested by our clients. 100% accuracy and straightforward user-related experience are differentiated in the industry, and our multi-channel clients recognize the value of such. Second, further iterations and enhancements of our core platforms. With Snipp Loyalty, we believe there is a significant scope to further enhance the integration of our SnipCheck receipt processing solution within our enterprise loyalty platform to target new markets alongside the existing focus of our sales efforts. With Snip Rewards, we're expanding our reward offerings to include movie tickets, PayPal, and other money-back mechanisms internationally. We will continue to grow this segment and embrace reward types. With Snip Insights data analytics, we continue to accumulate a vast amount of data about consumers, gaining insights into their demographics, purchase habits, shopping basket data, as well as sources of entry into promotions. Because this information is extremely valuable to brands, the company is productizing the data to create analytical solutions to enable brands to better understand customers' behaviors and trends. Moving on to three, we are focused on continuing to land and expand our relationships with Fortune 500 clients. We have been able to sign long-term agreements and MSAs, as well as renew deals with several key clients who are looking to license components of the Snip platform or lock in pricing for multiple sets of programs or for longer-term evergreen programs. We continue to be approached by existing clients and are engaged in multiple new conversations, aided by the launch of our loyalty base and Snip rebate products. We're also seeing opportunities to sign deals with international companies who have previously utilized the company's products in North America. And fourth, we are excited about revenue opportunities from our newly acquired Gambit Rewards. As a reminder, we acquired Gambit Rewards in January of 2022 for $5 million. I'd now like to introduce Richard Pistelli, CEO of Gambit Rewards, who will talk in greater detail about Gambit and the opportunities that lie ahead for this division.
Thank you, Atul. Let me start with some background on Gambit before talking a bit more about what it is we actually do. I started the company about 5 years ago after having experience in the reward space for over a decade as an investment banker. And along with my partners, we identified an opportunity to innovate rewards programs, observing that the experiences across the platforms were all similar and lacking in customization. We wanted to gamify the programs and create more specialized experiences to include various types of redemption and rewards. At the same time, the sports betting and iGaming market was just starting to take off in the beginning of 2018. And this movement brought online gaming more to the mainstream than ever before. We saw a great opportunity to connect the two, and thus Gambit was born. The Gambit product was initially designed as a simple digital gift card distribution platform, with free gaming tokens being offered to customers in lieu of traditional gift cards or other reward redemptions. After launch, we quickly found that the market fit for our product was far greater than what we had anticipated, as we quickly shot up to the top five most popular reward position with our launch partner, swagbucks.com. Our initial target demographic was males 18 to 34 who already possessed an affinity for gambling. However, the true demographic base is far broader, as we learned that many more consumers had become ingratiated with the sporting calendar, the major events each year, and that these events have become part of the mainstream culture. Examples including the Super Bowl, March Madness, and the World Cup, which is taking place right now. Gambit today allows users the ability to exchange their loyalty points from across our participating companies in return for Gambit's unique free-to-play tokens. These tokens can be used to place free wagers on Gambit's interactive slots, contests, and free sportsbook. Players are then rewarded with winnings in the form of prize tokens that can then be used to redeem gift cards, make charitable donations, redeem cash, or even exchange for more loyalty points. In late 2020-21, we met with Atul and the team at Snip, and we quickly realized that we shared a similar strategic vision and that our assets were highly complementary. For example, Gambit is delivered as a digital gift card. With the Snip team and their core technology stack, we can expand and offer more customized solutions and package the product to fit the client's specific needs. Snip is in a position as a leader in the loyalty management space to work with a Rolodex of Fortune 500 companies. Gambit can now expand its reach as a complementary offering with those clientele. Gambit is a new and unique product that they can offer to those clients. And in the first few quarters post-integration, we're already talking to many of these clients about customized solutions. I'll now turn the call over to Jason Garcia, CFO, who will discuss Snip's financials.
Yes, thank you. So revenue for Q3 2022 of $7.9 million compared to Q3 2021 of $5.4 million, an increase of 47%. And the company recognized EBITDA of $280,000 in Q3 2022 compared to EBITDA of $481,000 in Q3 2021. The drop in EBITDA is largely the result of higher campaign infrastructure expenses and the impact of Gambit on our business as we invest in its growth. Revenue for the first 9 months of this fiscal 2022 year of $17.6 million compared to the first 9 months of fiscal 2021 of $11 million, representing an increase of 60%. The company recognized EBITDA of $716,000 during the first 9 months of this fiscal year, compared to EBITDA of $1.1 million in the prior fiscal year period. The net loss for the 3 months ended September 30th, 2022, amounted to approximately $85,000, compared to net income of $138,000 for the 3 months ended in the prior year, September 30th, 2021. Our bookings backlog stood at $12.4 million on September 30th, 2022, representing an increase of 32% from September 30th, 2021 of $9.4 million. And now just to clarify that when we refer to bookings backlog, that represents a number of different signed contracts that have multiple types of revenue representing the SNP product portfolio. And every contract signed each quarter will add to this growing backlog. SNP defines bookings backlog as future revenue from existing customer contracts to be recognized in future quarters. Bookings then get translated into revenues based on IFRS principles, and the bookings backlog reflects how revenues in future quarters are steadily being booked today. This revenue gives the company better revenue visibility each quarter. Atul, I'll now turn the call back over to you.
Thanks, Jason. So before we begin Q&A, I want to add a few additional comments. In April of this year, Bally's Corporation invested $5 million in SNP Interactive to become a strategic partner and 9% shareholder of the company. Bally's invested at 20 cents US, which is a significant premium to our current market valuation, along with Bally's insiders own close to 50% of SNP's outstanding shares. So Bally's is one of the most forward-thinking companies in the gaming industry, and their investment illustrates the value that they see in SNP loyalty, as well as our SNPcare customer acquisition, retention, and engagement platform. Our acquisition of Gambit was intended as a way to better align ourselves with the gaming world. We also believe Bally's is the perfect partner to power Gambit's loyalty gaming platform, and we look forward to sharing our initiatives with investors in the near future. In closing, we're excited about the future of SNP Interactive and the opportunities that lie in front of us today. We're focused on building a platform that enables annualized positive EBITDA growth. We want to shift our revenue mix towards long-term recurring revenue streams. And while our margins have declined recently due to investments made into the Gambit platform, we expect profitable growth to continue and those margins to move back towards our historical range as Gambit scales its customer base over time. So I'd like to now open up the call to any questions from people attending this call.
I'll unmute everyone. Apologies, there are more attendants than we anticipated. So please, if you have a question, briefly pause to wait if someone else is speaking first. And then once someone has asked the question, please wait until Atul has answered it. So just give me a moment. I'll be unmuting everyone all at once.
Hi, guys. This is Brian Robson with Breakout Investors. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can, Brian. How are you doing?
Okay. Good morning. So with the Bally's acquisition, I mean, you mentioned SNP loyalty, SNP rewards. You know, their acquisition was preceded a couple of months earlier by your acquisition of Gambit. But I guess I'm trying to understand from your perspective, what were the drivers or what was Bally's most interested in your platform when they made their investment?
Yeah, thanks, Brian. Good question. So, so here's the story as to how, you know, we met Bally's, right? And how it relates to Gambit. I didn't know Bally's. We've never had any business in the gaming industry, but you know, Richard and I had been talking about the power of the Gambit platform, and one of the interested parties in implementing Gambit was Bally's. That's how we met them, through Richard and his efforts at Gambit. But Gambit couldn't be utilized by Bally's because Bally's does not have a comprehensive loyalty platform built across all of its assets. Bally's is a pretty large company, as you guys know. They own 16 sports networks down in the South, which they own together with Sinclair Broadcasting that they bought from Fox. They own an online gaming license in every state that's legalized it so far, and then they have a footprint of physical casinos around the country. But what they lack is a unifying program like the Marriott Bonvoy program across all of their properties. And the complexity of their business is that they have physical properties, they have digital properties, they have streaming networks, traditional television properties. Tying all of those properties together, unlike a hotel program, which is just physical hotels, is quite complicated. And they've spent, a few years, is my understanding, trying to build out a platform that can integrate across their properties. Go to Atlantic City, stay at their hotels, play at their casinos, and then convert those points to go online and play when you're back home, et cetera. They couldn't do all of that. So through our conversations with Gambit, which they were super interested in, Gambit said, hey, we have a solution in our partner Snip. And that's how we met them. And they were like, this is brilliant, because if you guys can come in and actually build out this platform for us, we'll actually be able to now implement Gambit across the United States, and use their platform to collect customer data for their core business, right? So that's Richard, do you want to add to that? But that was the basis of why Bally's came into Snip, and they saw a mission critical need for a loyalty platform across our platform, across their platform, that allowed them to then actually leverage Gambit's brilliant.
Sure. Ken, do you want to confirm? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can anybody else hear me?
Yes, we can hear him.
Yep. Sorry, I apologize for the technical difficulties, everyone. So to give you a little bit more color about where the relationship between Gambit and Bally's grew, we had been in discussions with them for probably about 9 months prior to the Snip transaction. And from Bally's perspective, they looked at Gambit as a strategic opportunity, because if you think about where we sit in the marketplace, we're actually able to go out and connect with consumers nationwide, right? We are a free-to-play contest platform that is never involving real money from the consumers. As a result, we are allowed to go into any market we want to go into, offer up our free-to-play sports gaming experience, and bring in new consumers. For Bally's, that is, for any gaming company, one of their key objectives, which is to begin to go out and build relationships with future customers in states that they cannot operate in. As much as the sports betting world has moved and proliferated so quickly in the last few years, the reality is it's still heavily constrained on a state-by-state basis with very different rules and regulations and laws and taxations. And so for the most part, the big states are still out of reach. And this is why when you watch sports today, you cannot watch sports without being inundated by some sort of pick six challenge or free play promo. That is all designed for the exact reason of trying to build future customer bases. With Gambit, they saw us as a unique way to go at that same objective, but to do it through a channel that none of their competitors are utilizing, which is the rewards program. So we are out there not only reaching the consumers they want to reach, but we're doing it through a channel that doesn't have competition. In addition to which, if you think about their own existing user experience, we also provide a complement, which is the ability for them to now connect with their user as that user travels between states. So for example, if you have a user in the state of New Jersey that's playing all day long on Bally's apps or Bally's games, and then they drive home to another state that does not have a Bally's license or accessibility there, they can now connect, continue to play with that user by allowing that user to take their Bally points, convert them to Gambit tokens, and play on our free games. And so that was the basis for our relationship and developing an opportunity with Bally's. When Snip came in,
it really just kind of put it over the finish line, because we were then able to identify an even bigger opportunity for them that we could solve, as Atul just mentioned.
Okay, great. I appreciate the added color there. One follow-up question, which is, in their investment agreement, there was their ability to license your source code for $10 million. Can you comment on whether you see that as something that potentially could be executed down the road?
Yeah, thank you. Sorry about that. The system is going completely crazy. It wouldn't let me unmute myself. So source code, 10 million probability. That was the question, right? So let me put it this way, Brian. You know, this platform that we are putting in, and you guys can go see the first piece of it coming out, one of a very larger ecosystem. If you go to the App Store, you can download an app called Bali Live. So Bali Live is the first implementation on a very small subset of their entire asset base of a program that's running on our platform. It's called Bali Live in the App Store. That app's built on our platform. So think of it this way. How critical is the Marriott Bonvoy program to the network of Marriott hotels? It's super critical. Without the Marriott Bonvoy program, you know, I am a, you know, gold member, for example, and I've been all my life. I have lifetime status given the number of nights I've stayed at their hotels. Or take United's mileage program, right? Or Delta's, right? That is the scale of what we are putting in for them over the next couple of years, right? So is that critical and mission critical for a business like that? Absolutely, because if you look across the fence at Caesars already has this program in place, and it's a very, very critical aspect of their program. So that license and that right to buy the code absolutely was fundamental to our negotiation, because at some point they would want to, and I would probably encourage them to in-house it, because it's such a mission critical application, which is going to house all of their customer data, all of their transaction data, and allows for the interchange and interplay between their various properties, you know, in a very unique fashion. So is the probability of them exercising it high? In my mind, it is, because no company in their right mind would let a third-party company run it forever. Will they? I actually don't really care if they do or don't. I mean, you know, in the sense of it's money for me either ways. So yeah, that I'll leave it at that.
Okay, very good. Thank you guys. Good luck.
Thanks.
If there are any other questions, please do unmute your dial-in and feel free to ask your question.
Hello, gentlemen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Hey, Gary, is that you?
Gary. Hey, nice. Garrison from Toronto. Atul, firstly, congratulations. It's a nice third quarter. Your top line is awesome. Would you please give some comments? How do you compare with respect to your EBITDA bottom line to your sector? And why is your bottom line is so skimpy, and how are you going to improve it? That's number one. And also, any comments on your balance sheet, please? Go ahead.
Yeah, Gary, sorry, just trying to unmute myself. This thing's playing up. Thank you for your question.
It's not that efficient, but it's been really annoying. Your dog can't listen. Sorry.
Yeah, so let's talk about margins, right? Margins are declining. We bought a business. Someone has to invest in that business to build it. We are investing in it from our own profits, right? Our core business is a 60 to 70% margin business. We've proven that time and again. It's been 12 quarters of profitability for us. If you go back and look at our 2020, 2021 numbers, you'll see the margin profile of that business. It's indisputable. Every single quarter, we've been in the 65 to 75% range, right? So we've got the margins in our core business. We've now bought a business. We now have a strategic investor that's invested in our business and given us capital, right? So we have two sources of capital, either the cash that we are generating or using our investor capital to build out Gambit. I'm choosing the former, which is our own cash that we're generating, which obviously then impacts margin, to invest in Gambit. And I'm leaving our investor capital on our balance sheet. Why? Because the economy is turning quite hard and great opportunities are going to show up that if I have capital, I can, you know, use it for multiple different strategic initiatives as the opportunities arise. So that's the answer and the simple explanation about why our margins are at the 40% mark. And we're leaving it at that, right? We can control it, but we want to build Gambit. We want to build it hard. We want to build it fast. We are only in a pilot phase right now. We have a single client. That client's generated, as you can see, the growth of the Gambit platform. It's teaching us a lot of different things. It's teaching us how best to tweak the platform, how best to build our customer flows to optimize income from the users that we are basically getting for free. So in terms of how we compare to people in our sector, it's a great question, Gary. It's a difficult question for me to answer too, but let me give you some perspective about our sector. 2 weeks back, one of our biggest competitors got shut down by the private equity that bought them. So I have 100 people in the market right now, really good, great quality people. That company's name is PriceLogic. They got bought by a PE-backed company that decided for some reason to shut them down. And we are going to benefit from that over the course of the next year because their clients are looking for new homes and we are standing there waiting to bring them in. Those companies were, pretty heavily backed by private equity. There was one private equity selling it to another private equity. So, you can think about private equity backed companies and the margin profiles of those companies. They're all in the 50 to 60% range for our core business, right? But we do have Gambit now. So it's difficult for me to answer this because we now have a consumer business that we are building alongside our B2B business for the obvious synergies that we've articulated over the years, right? So our margins in the core business, if I were to compare it to companies in that segment, are pretty much the same, if not, at the higher side, because we are technology backed versus services backed. On the Gambit side, you can't compare margins because there is no business equivalent to what Gambit does, because it's the first to market, the first one to get regulated approval to be not regulated, and the only one out there allowing loyalty companies to exchange points to allow their users to bet their rewards for a sports book versus exchange their points for like Uber rides or airline tickets. So yeah. In terms of balance sheet, Jason, do you want to talk about what our balance sheet looks like?
Sure. So we had cash of about $5.5 million and accounts receivable about $3.5 million. So total of cash and AR of about $9 million. So very healthy balance sheet there. We have payables and accrued liabilities of about $2.6 million. So our excess of cash and AR over our liabilities in terms of payables is about $6.4 million. And then if you include that, we have about $1.8 million in deferred revenue, but that is going to be just recognized as revenue and converted off of the liability section. But if you want to factor in adjusting for deferred revenue as well as liabilities, then we have a working capital of just about $5.3 million. So again, very healthy compared to the history of the company with the cash investment, strategic partnership with Bally's, as well as our existing core business generating EBITDA positive flows for the last 11 quarters. We have our most healthiest balance sheet in quite some time.
Thanks. Hello.
Hi, Gary. Please repeat your question. It was a little in and out.
Okay. No, I said thank you very much.
Can I just add a comment about the Gambit margin specifically? I know there's a lot of unknown about what how that business is growing and how it impacts the SNP platform at large.
Richard, please proceed.
So let me, I just like to make 3 points to kind of give you guys some real clarity as to how the Gambit model and economics work. As Atul mentioned, we're currently in market with a pilot program with a single rewards partner that's our core revenue driving channel at the moment. And what that means is we're able to build up our initial user base or user acquisition through that channel. However, that also means that as those users are able to come to our platform, their ability to play with us, their ability to actually redeem and create revenue for us is capped by that rewards partner. So as we go out and add new partners and add new programs and channels that we're going to be distributing through, not only will that bring us new pools of users, but it will also expand the lifetime value of our existing users because we'll be adding on to their addressable wallet. Right, we'll be going from, well, you can play with swag club points, you can play with other points as well. So number one question we get from consumers today, which is, what other points can I use in your system? I need to find other ways to play with you. Secondly, I would also point out that Gambit, while this is a technology business per se, the reality is our core strength has been in our intellectual property. It was the 3 years of working out and developing a legal model and construct that no one had ever seen before, and then actually getting the regulators to sign off on it and agree that this is, in fact, a non-gambling free-to-play platform. Because of that, we actually have a very controlled fixed cost base. Our technology, our game system is designed to scale at efficiency, and it has the ability to continue to add on programs without incurring tremendous amounts of steps in technology costs. So that's another thing to think about as we look at where our margins should be as we get to an optimal operating level. The third point I'll make, as you think about the SNP business, inherently the SNP business is working with a lot of different clientele on programs and on campaigns, part of which are recurring, and the other part are new wins and new contracts that they're continuously pursuing. The difference is when you think about Gambit, we're actually in a partner selling model. When we work with a rewards program, it's not for an instance or for a campaign. It's perennial, right? We actually get in and we integrate into their system so that when we actually start generating revenue and user acquisition from a partner, that's perpetual. That's going to be something that we can then continue to build out and scale over the years to come. Just a couple of ways to, a couple of points to think about how Gambit's financial model actually operates.
Thanks, Richard. Atul, if anybody has questions, please go ahead. But I have one more question, if you allow me, but I can wait in the line.
Go ahead, Gary. I don't think there's a line per se. There's no one thing.
Firstly, I sympathize with SNP because I'm, as you know, small caps. I mean, there's no rationale right now in the stock price versus what the companies are doing. So I give it to some sympathy to come about that. However, having said that, there are some isolated incidents that where companies do reflect some value, if not still really discounted from what they deserve to be. So if we look at the history of stock price, today, compared to last 7-8 years, we are down like about 85% from the peak. And the company has done considerable work in terms of product expansion, in terms of client base, repeat business. Now you're going into strategy of organic growth, plus grow by acquisition or add-ons. Now, do you have any strategy, notwithstanding the shitty market for the small caps, that you're going to address that issue and get a fair valuation with all the progress that you have made and the company deserves? Any comments on that, please?
So Gary, I want to make sure I understand your question. So you're saying, do we have a strategy as to how to get our stock price to a fair valuation?
Yes.
Right. So let me start at a philosophical level, and then I can get to a tactical level, right? Look, at the philosophical level, I haven't invested the last 5-6 years of my life to build a penny stock company. No disrespect to penny stock companies. I'm one, right? We're here to build a company that actually stands the test of time and actually something that becomes one of the largest players in its segment. And we're getting there because more and more of our competitors are falling to the wayside for one or another reason. I just mentioned one example of one that, you know, got bought and shut down. There's another one a year back that got bought and consolidated into a larger company. It's a pretty dynamic space, and it's becoming more dynamic as cookies go away, privacy becomes more important, right? So we have a real opportunity here to build a lasting company. And that's what we are focused on, right? I'm not happy with where the valuation is, obviously. No one would be. Our plan can be so much more efficient and faster with a fair valuation, because I have currency, credibility, it's higher with clients, currency to make acquisitions, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, if nothing else, investors can take comfort in that we've got a core business that actually works with multiple high quality, well-paying, creditworthy Fortune 500 clients who stuck with us even when we were a 1 cent stock, right? So that's our philosophical approach to this, which is like, markets can go bad, cycles can turn, markets will go higher. 10 years back when our stock hit a buck or whatever it was, right? We just keep our heads down and move forward, right? So that's the philosophical approach, but that's not going to help you guys. We want you guys to make money, tons of money, multiples of your investment, right? Time adjusted, because your plan might not be as long as mine, right? We know our family office and our insiders are very patient people. They're not in this for a 3 or 4 year kind of like, 30% bump in stock. They're in this for like a 10x return, right? So, but what are we doing, right? So the feedback I've gotten is that we've got too many shares outstanding, we're on the wrong exchange, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All very, very good, intelligently thought out feedback that we've collected, and get daily from many of you, right? But we can't just change things overnight without thinking through the different pros and cons of making moves too. Like everyone tells me, hey, go to the NASDAQ, flip your stock out. Every bank, we've got literally 5 proposals sitting here to take us to the NASDAQ right now with, take 10 million, take 15 million, we put you on the NASDAQ. We're like, we're not gonna do that yet. We'll do it when the opportunity is correct. Right now, simple demand and supply, we've got a lot of shares outstanding. We're working with the TSX to figure out what can we or can we not roll back to get to a credible stock price. Small steps, right? We have capital in the bank, so we don't need capital, right? So we're not gonna dilute ourselves for no reason. So in terms of like specifically answering your question, we continue to focus on building the business, building out our plan with Gambit, with some of the newer initiatives like Snip Media, continue to be great partners to our existing clients, continuing to expand with these clients of ours as their plans materialize, taking advantage of the sector and the trends that affect our business. But at the same time, looking at our volume of shares outstanding, looking at who the investors are. We started marketing the company again for the first time in the US at the LD Micro conference last month actually. Great investor feedback. We're gonna take our story up to New York, down in Florida, take it to Dallas, go meet investors in the sector in the US. We've got a few people helping us. I don't have an IR firm yet. So we're taking small steps to write the valuation of this company. And at the end of the day, none of those steps will make any sense to do if our core business is not in a good place and we don't think it's going to continue to be in a decent place, market, irrespective of the markets. That's my long answer to your question, Gary.
Thanks, Atul.
I think we're done here, Jason. So let me end by just apologizing for all the issues we've had today. It usually works quite well on client pitch presentations when we have 25, 30 people attending. We just didn't have good karma today. We'll get all of these issues fixed. But please feel free to reach out. Call me on my cell phone. If you'll have questions, text me, email our investor line. We will get back to you. We always do. And all feedback's appreciated. And thank you for being investors and interested in our story. And we'll talk to you next quarter.
Thank you, Atul. Thank you, everybody.